G'day, Jimmy. How are you going?
Good, thanks, fellas. Yourself?
Yeah, going well, mate. This is a minefield for the AFL, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly right. I heard you there in the intro that the biggest problem they've got is that they're going to be held up and, I guess, trying to work with all the different state bodies. You know, some states have still got, you know, 14-day quarantine periods. What does that mean for the sides from West Australia? Do they come out and still base themselves in Melbourne for the first few weeks? You know, the groups... sizes that they're allowed to train in. And of course, what happens in AFL is one team seems to have an advantage, everybody else jumps up again and throws their toys out of the cot. So they're trying to make a blanket rule for all, but then that's the problem itself, and it slows down the process of getting everyone back up and going.
Jimmy, what have you made of the leadership around the AFL? Just in general, in holding off before setting a date, some comments that were made quite early in the piece about the NRL being cowboys in setting a date, and obviously some differences there. But what have you personally made of the leadership?
Yeah, well, firstly, just commenting on the NRL leadership, Peter Vladis, I'm actually one from the southern states, which, surprise, surprise, actually admires what he's done. He's been brave, he's been ambitious, and I like people who actually go, right, we're going to keep working at a certain date. If we don't land on that date, well, at least we've done a power of work to get everyone up and ready to go. I like it. People are ambitious, because I don't like how people go, oh, it can't be done, and just take pot shots. That's just not the way I think you should go about it. So I guess there are some cheap shots thrown to him by actually a few AFL presidents, but the thing with AFL, as I mentioned, they're trying to get five states aligned with everything, so it's pretty difficult. I know it's difficult for the NRL, but I guess they could always just, you know, squash everyone into one state. You're only bringing one team from Victoria. Obviously, the Kiwis come across, and a couple from Queensland. So I think logistically it was a bit easier than bringing everyone across different states, as in AFL. But I think they've probably tried to play a bit more politics, the AFL, where the league is just, rugby league is just going, right, we're just going to go about our agenda and see how we can get it done.
What did you make of these punishments for the Adelaide Crows players, Jimmy, where the players were handed one-match suspended sentences for flouting social distancing rules, and the assistant coach, Ben Hart, wow, cops 6 weeks. I mean, what about Gary Lyon coming out and saying they should even have lost draft picks? Obviously, there's a distrust that... people were thinking the Crows were trying to get an unfair advantage.
Yeah, look, on the draft picks, I can't believe people were crying out for draft picks to be sanctioned. That's probably the biggest sanction, one of the biggest sanctions you could cop in our game, because that can really sink your club for not only the year coming up, but years down the track. We've seen that sanction being applied before, and clubs find it very difficult to recover, because that's, you know, that could be your future first-round draft pick. That could be a couple of superstars that reshape your club. We've seen clubs have premiership dynasties off a couple of draft picks. So I don't think, even though it was bad, it was incredibly tone deaf of what's going on at the moment. It wasn't worthy of losing draft picks. The players copping one match, fine. I think that, well, they're probably just under instruction. Yeah, you probably have to suspend the coach for a bit, because he's surely got to go, look, fellas, we can't do circle work and run training drills like this. It was just dumb and silly, and a fine at this stage as well is pretty tough, because all clubs are struggling financially. So it was a tough one to get the suspension right. But people saying, you know, take draft picks off them, I don't think that was right and would have been very excessive.
Jimmy, can I take you back when you said a competitive advantage for those teams that were allowed to train in groups of 10, where the Victorian clubs weren't allowed to do that?
Yep.
I mean, they're at a disadvantage anyway, aren't they, with all the travel that they have to do throughout the season? So do you think it's fair or unfair that people can sit back and say, no, you blokes, you're not allowed to train, you know, you're getting an unfair advantage on us, where as the Melbourne clubs, they don't have to travel as much as what the interstate clubs do?
Yeah, well, you've touched on something that's now become a hot topic in AFL, is the whole, they call it the Victorian bias. You know, if they call it the AFL, but you might as well call it the VFL again. They get this, they get that. If something doesn't happen for the Victorian clubs, they complain to head office and all that sort of stuff. Look, that's just the nature of our game. People expecting fairness in AFL football will never get it. It's just the way the competition's set up. You've got, firstly, we've got 18 teams in a 22-round competition. it's just never going to be fair. Like, you know, if sides are going to travel more, or sides who get to play the bottom sides of the year twice when others only get to play them once. Yeah, Victorian teams, there's 10 teams, but there's only three grounds. So, you know, some teams like Richmond are going to play 17 games at their home ground. The fairness is never going to happen. And I think if people who, like clubs who always complain about it, it's just, you know, like yelling into the wind.
We're looking at some scheduling clashes later in the year, potentially with, well, Cox Plate Day or Derby Day for the AFL Grand Final. I'll tell you what sounds good to me as a sports fan, one into the other. Where do you land on this, Jimmy? What do you think about, and obviously this means it could be a night Grand Final for the AFL, which I know has been spoken about for years. How do you feel, and what's been the response, particularly in Victoria, to potential change in the time slot?
Oh, I feel my multis are going to go through the roof there. it's going to be incredibly difficult to commentate, because what you'll be doing, you'll be watching the footy, but you'll have the screen on in the commentary box watching the races as well. That can be the positive out of it. It would be the greatest festival of sport ever, wouldn't it? You've got unbelievable racing. You've got, you know, different football codes going on at the same time. I think it could be fantastic. It could be what the economy needs, especially for down here in Victoria, because, you know, those big events, it just gets people out and about, it gets spending, it puts attraction on Victoria to not only the rest of Australia, but around the world. So it could be a massive boost that everyone needs.
And what about at the Giants, Jimmy? Leon Cameron, is he confident that your players have all gone away and done the right thing and they've come back in good shape?
I'll tell you what, he would be, or else I wouldn't want to be a player who's come back fat and overweight during this period. you'd cop an absolute rocket. I think players are awesome, though, keeping themselves in good nick and condition. They all know what's expected. I think they all understand it. It's too hard otherwise. I think gone are the days where when you're not training, you do nothing. You've just got to keep ticking along and get ready. All clubs will have about 3 weeks. So now that news the other night, and all players sort of back in in their states or the cities where their clubs are, they'll start to ramp them up now over the next 3 weeks to get them back match fit.
Jimmy, what about club and local and regional footy? Has there been any talk about when we'll see those guys back?
Yeah, it's been a tough one, Clarkie, because the problem is now we always talk about AFL having the battle with cricket for, you know, the big grounds, but that's going to be the big issue now in local footy and cricket, because it's not like you can do the drop-in wickets at your local cricket club and things like that. So it's going to be really difficult. A couple of competitions and leagues have said, players and coaches and umpires will play for no money, which is great. They just want to play some footy, and I think they'll have some competitions like that, really short seasons, but yeah, they're still on a bit of the unknown as well.
Jimmy, earlier the boys were asked to recap some of their favourite night spots, whether it be in their hometown or wherever else in the country or even the world. Come on, mate, what are some of yours?
Lammy's, which is the Sunday night venue down in Geelong, it was a death trap because the roof was only about 6'1" high, so most footballers sort of had a bit of a kink in their neck. The fur went off, everyone was gone. But
I'm sure that was from the short roof, though.
Our club tried to put a curfew on the players. We know how well curfews go, Laurie, in football clubs. There's ways around it. So what used to happen was one of the boys, quite smartly, when the curfew came on, said, "But what if I've got my brother's birthday or a wedding?" And then the Bomber Thompson time goes, "Well, okay, private functions, you're all good." So what happened at about 2 o'clock every morning, the owner of Lammy's would get up and he'd wish one of the players happy birthday. And they're like, "It's
outstanding."
That's what I love about footy players. They can be very smart at times. When a lot of people think they haven't got too many brains upstairs, they can come up with some good ones, Jimmy.
Yeah, the rules are just very loosely. They're there to be manipulated, as coaches say.
Is that joint still open down there?
It is. It's an institution down at Geelong. I don't think they've even changed the carpet in the last 25 years or anything like that.
There's always a joint like that in every place you go to, I reckon. Just the nightclub that's just famous, and it's not much chop when you get inside, as in what it looks like. but you always walk out of there and you say, I'm going back. I'm going back again. I had such a great night.
Well, a joint like that was the Palace in Coogee. It used to have a stench when you walked in. Now it's obviously pretty schmick, the pavilion down there. But, yeah, no, it was one where the carpet never changed until they had to just because of the smell. But, Jimmy, look, great to talk to you as always, mate. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.